to Acts chapter 3. If you're just joining us today or you haven't been here recently, we're going through the book of Acts. So we're addressing each verse, and from that we've marched on, you know, through the initial receipt of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and on to the beginning of the disciples' ministry. And here we are in chapter 3, verse 1. And we'll start there. And it says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold. What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." So, have you read this story before? So Lord, give us a fresh look. You know, Holy Spirit, lead us in what you want to teach us about this. Man, there's so many awesome things in here, guys, we could talk about today. Let me just share with you. That's what, you know, going before the Lord every week and saying, okay, let's teach us. Guys, this is the heart of what we're doing here. We're looking at the folks in Acts, and we're not simply depending on what we've always thought about this or what we've taught, but we're coming before the Lord and asking that he would reaffirm those things that we were taught before that are what he wants us to focus on, what he wants us to see and know. And we're asking him to reveal new truths that maybe we didn't see our last time through that. So right here, a couple things stand out, okay? First of all, let me say this. This is really interesting because I love any time the Lord reaffirms what it is we're doing here. I love that because I don't want to simply do this because this was a tradition given to me by the generation before me, made by man. Are you with me in that? Are we aware that a lot of things that we do in the name of church and God were something taught to us by men and women before us, right? Some good, probably some bad, and mostly indifferent, right? But let's be honest about why we do it, what we're doing. So I love this. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Well, here's what, if you look into that, devout Jews, they had three times of prayer. The more devout, you know, the more dedicated to this they were. They would go to the temple, and they would go there at 9 a.m., they would go at noon, and then they would go at 3 p.m. And the first one and the last one, there was a sacrifice time involved with those. And the middle one, no. So this was a Jewish tradition. And these men were Jews by birth. They met Jesus. They walked with him. They witnessed miraculous things, right? They saw him die and be raised to life from the dead and walk amongst them. They received the Holy Spirit. They saw men brought. They had all this awareness, all this opening. Okay, the world hijacks that opening of their mind to mean something it's not, but their mind was open beyond what they were taught in their Jewish heritage, the law. But even after that, these men were still devoted to some of the traditions of the Jews. So that caused me to ask, okay, Lord, is this something that just made them comfortable? I don't think so. Was it an unfinished part of them? No. What it is, guys, is what reiterates to me is the apostles remained in the heart of the Jewish culture, of the Jewish national life, so that they could reach people with the gospel message. I apologize. I try to get fancy with the slide background. You can't read it very well once it's on this screen. So here's what I really keep about that. These men who knew so much better, they knew God was everywhere, and that now they no longer needed a temple because they were the temple. Do you understand that? You and I, this church, as cool as it is that this wall is coming down, it is a building. Like, when you leave, I will always say this, you'll get tired of me saying this. When you all leave, the last person leaves and locks the door, the Holy Spirit is gone from this place. He went with you. He didn't stay here to dwell, right? This is not God's home, even though I like, you know, the tradition. That's what we used to say in my church growing up. This is the house of God. So glad to be in the house of God with you. No, so glad to be the house of God with you, right? So let's just throw that in the trash, because that was a bad thing that we were learning, okay? So they knew this by now. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They walked with the Lord, and they still thought it was worthwhile to come together and pray. They still thought it was worthwhile to connect with the folks around them. Because you know what we could do? We could all homeschool our kids. We could all just work for just Christians. We could just hang out here and hide from the rest of the world. But that's not what God's called us to do, right? Is it bad to homeschool your kids? No. Is it bad to work for Christians and hang out with Christians? No. But the disciples, as a way of an example, still saw a value of gathering together in prayer, and also saw themselves on mission. They went right into the face of the exact people that killed Jesus. Huh. Is that it, God? Is that where you want us to focus? No, I feel like he led me on from there. And fun fact, okay, for you. So this thing that they said, this gate at the temple, which was called Beautiful. So historians tell us that Josephus described the gate made of fine Corinthian brass at the temple. It was 75 feet high with huge double doors. They said it was so cool looking, so beautiful, that even the other gates and the things covered with silver and gold, they were just nothing in comparison. This beautiful gate. So that's kind of cool. I like that picture, right? It's good to keep that real. Not transformational for your heart or life, but good information, right? We can do that too. So Lord, what is it? Well, Here's what the Lord popped out in this when I was going through this. First of all, we had the disciples were worshiping at the temple. Okay? They came in. There was these three prayer times, amongst other things. They came in. They came by this gate that was called Beautiful. There was a man in need there. He was poor because he was lame since birth. And what he was requesting was support. These alms, right, were either food or money. This was his job. According to what the scripture tells us, here's this man. He's older than me, okay? And his whole lifetime, I think about every day before today, if this was my life, if I was lame since birth, and as I became the age of an adult, this man, probably the last, I don't know, we'd be guessing 20, 25 years, it sounds like his job was to go to the gate because people would be coming in and out three times that day. They put him next to the really beautiful gate to attract the big money folks, right? And he would sit there. They would carry him. His job was to sit there and ask for support. And this was how he supported himself and made his living. The disciples noticed him, but they did not offer food or finances. What Peter said is, I'll offer you what it is I have, which was wholeness, healing, through Jesus Christ. So then this man was healed by God through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the disciples. So at a base level, that's what happened. So Lord, what is it? What is it about that? I mean, okay, you know, is it that we should help the less fortunate? Right? Is it that we should help the less fortunate? Is that what we should focus on right now, guys? There's a scripture. Let me just share that with you. Mark 14:7, Jesus is talking to his followers. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. They were worried about, you know, this poor at times. They were worried about these peripheral things when Jesus was calling them to the point at hand, which was, pay attention to me. You'll always have the poor, and what it say, you can help them. See, and this makes us uncomfortable because we want to know the way it works. Like, I got to give the $5 to everybody I see begging. Or, oh no, God's not asking me to do that. It's not even good for me to do that because I'm enabling bad behavior, right? Have you, and those who are, you know, vacillating from one side to the other and so confused, what do I even do with everyone on the corner at Fry's and Walmart? You know, what do I do with this? I want to do what you want me to do. Well, why'd you pick this verse, Will? Well, when I read this, I caught a few things. First of all, the fact that he was financially poor was not the point. That was not the point. There always is going to be people financially support, and you can help them whenever you want. And helping them is what? Good, right? It's a good thing. Being generous is a good thing. Okay, is there a line? Sure. You and I have to struggle with the tension here between going down roads that are difficult where we can go too far or not far enough. That's just something we can do. If we don't go down any road that has hazards, we're gonna miss out on so much in life, and it's gonna be impossible for us to follow Christ the way that we should. So I love that because one, it's saying you're focused on the wrong thing. And two, it says, but helping them's good. Do that whenever you feel like you need to. Like I like that. That makes a whole lot of sense. It sounds like our God who gives us so much freedom in what we can do. Right? However, what he's calling us to is the point is to follow him and to listen to him. So was it about helping the less fortunate? Now, another fact, guys, let's do the math here. I mean, I don't know how long Jesus has been ascended into heaven at this point, but I'm pretty sure Jesus saw this same guy. He walked by him. I don't know. He may have given him something. They may have had, I don't know, but he would have saw him. And this was his daily routine. They dropped him off and Jesus walked by him. Why didn't Jesus heal him at that time? When he walked by him, who knows how many times? Okay, well, you're boring me and I don't get it. Right? This is what I feel God is just keeps hammering home to me. And I want to share with you guys is we have to pay attention. We're so focused on the things that aren't the most important. They're the secondary things. When you love and when you're secure in God, you fellowship. When you love, when you're secure in God, you may help those in need. But that is not the point. The point is focus on me. Pay attention. What about healing? Maybe it was the healing. Well, Jesus, you know, he didn't heal him. He didn't eliminate his poverty when he walked by him. And he didn't call his disciples to eliminate his poverty, but he did ask them to heal. Well, let's step back a second. How's that feel for you if I say healing? Are you comfortable because you think it's like a disciple thing to do? Right? Or a God thing to do? If you're new with us, this is something we're wrestling with. You see, there's the Holy Spirit, and we're aware that many of us haven't given him much thought or much ability to minister to us in our lives. We have shut him out. We have minimized him. We have dismissed him as some sort of mythical creature. So is this what you want us to talk about, God, healing? Should we go over to Fry's and tell the guy to get up and be healed from whatever it is that's keeping him from working? Should we pray and touch their back and ask that God would heal the back so that they could go to work, or the mental illness that might be bothering them, or provide, you know, in a practical way, provide a job when they're looking for employment? I want that answer, and you do. but you don't get it. You don't get that answer. You don't get that one-time answer. Brandon, you can't, man. Every person you see, it's not the time of healing for them. The disciples walked by this guy time and time again, and they didn't heal him. Jesus walked by this guy, did not heal him. But what was it that day? What was it that day that the disciples knew to stop and say, look at me? What's that? Holy Spirit. Timing. Holy Spirit timing. There's that word again, right? You guys, you're all going to walk out because you'll be tired of me talking about the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you what, this is what's so important. I want this kind of answer. This is what I'm always supposed to do. So no, God, I don't think it's about that I should do healing. But I ask you to consider, because I know there's this greater question. Is it even available to you that you would have faith that you could pray for somebody and that God would provide them healing? Because I guarantee you, your prayer would never be answered towards that if you don't believe it's possible. Right? Oh, can you pray for my back, Pastor? Well, God doesn't really do this anymore, right? Okay, please help his back get better. And it doesn't work, okay? Now, you might not be able to see this, but jot down the reference here, and I'm going to read it to you. The reference is 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Right here, you see a list. Here's what's awesome about this. You need to spend a little time on this, because some of us, those who have been taught certain things, that certain gifts have ceased, or who believe that, please consider this scripture that God will reveal truth to you on what the Holy Spirit can do in and through you in your life. Context, you guys understand, this was a letter written to new Christians in Corinth, not to disciples, apostles. Because there is a belief, guys, and maybe you prescribe to this belief that this healing was limited. The ability to pray and to receive healing was limited to these apostles. And once they were gone, it's done. And sure, God can heal cancer, but he would never ask a person to come and pray and that there'd be healing. Okay? But let's start at the scripture, because that is the baseline for all truth. Here's what it says right here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So allow the Holy Spirit to interpret that scripture for you, but here's what I am telling you. Even though I don't want to just sit on the gift of healing, based on what you can see here, this was not purely something for the apostles, but for the believers. Okay? Based on the Bible. Even if it makes you uncomfortable. Good, right? Quit being comfortable. It's not working. Like, we're losing our friends, our family, and society. We've lost them, man. And like, because we're playing it so careful, we don't want to go on any bumpy road. But what this also says here, and you, some of you may disagree with me, and God may change my mind, but what I extrapolate this is the last verse. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to them each one just as he determines. I also don't think that God's asking me to set up a booth and say, I am a healer and I'm supposed to heal everyone, okay? So if you're doing that, that's not what that's talking about, according to Will. Maybe God will come to me in a dream and say, Will, you're wrong. That's totally what I want you to do. But that doesn't make sense based on what I see in the scripture. It is the Holy Spirit. You have to pay attention. To one, tongues. You don't just speak tongues every Thursday because you want to. God has to give it to you. Prophecy, you don't just do that and pull it out like it's your cell phone. You want to make a call. You don't just do this. We can't abuse these gifts, okay? Because we're sending the wrong message, but we can't eliminate them. Without the power of God, what are we going to do? How are we going to stand up against the evil one in the evil days that are ahead of us and that we're in now? We're facing spiritual things, and we're fighting them in the flesh. We have a Swiss Army pocket knife against an AR-15, and we're losing. Bad. So let's start with that truth. Okay, well, you kind of preach on healing. I know, but that's not where I wanted to park the whole time. But I want you to continue to come before God and ask that, because what's going to be awesome in our town and transformation is if you guys begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work at you. If you begin to pay attention to him, and who knows, you may go to Fry's, and he may ask you to pray, and that guy might get healing. And if not, I just can't imagine how proud God would be of you that you obeyed him and did something that took you out of your comfort zone. But it doesn't matter what I preach or how awesome Katie and the band sing, like the God's movement comes through the Holy Spirit, not through the wit of man and women. So let's not healing. That's the words. I've said it a number of times. I was driving and I'm like, oh, I'm has to be honest with you, man. If I share my heart, I was fretting about this. I even talked with my wife and she goes, well, maybe we should just take the week off of Acts and do something else. And I'm like, okay, I'm open to that. Right? We tore the wall down, you know, inhaled like 16 gallons of sawdust, you know, poor Jim here working, and like all of us taking screws out. I mean, I felt like a real man. I had power tools, you know. I'm going to get calluses on my office hands if I'm not careful. But coming back to this, I'm driving, and the Lord is like, I heard, pay attention. I'm like, pay attention? Is that what you want me to talk about? And I felt him say, yeah. Okay. I'm going to step forward in faith in that. And he brought it together. So here's what I want to share with you. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. That was like anticlimactic, huh? Yeah. That's like almost as lame as someone saying, I'll pray for you, I promise. And you're like, now you're not going to pray for me. No, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. If you read in the scripture, I always love it, and I should have looked up these references, but I didn't plan on sharing this. But King David, I mean, if you read in that and you listen to what was going on, he went into battles in the same area, and even God wouldn't let him do it the same way twice. Right? And Paul came in, spoke to Jews, and gave this message based on the foundation in Acts. We'll get to that. Based on the Jewish foundation, and people were like, whoa, and accepted Christ, and this big movement. And then he goes to a group of Greeks, and he's got the same hammer, right, that he used with them, and he's banging away, and they're all like, what are you talking about? And he goes away, what happened? And then the Lord shows him, you can't do it the same way every time. Oh, I know, doesn't that stink? Don't you just wish he had simple instructions? Like, you've got to stop. You've got to stop and pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you pray, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you give money, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you give him a Big Mac, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you come to church, sometimes you don't. Well, you can't say that, Pastor. Yes, you can. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you give, sometimes you don't. God gives you commands, but beyond that, that's what Jesus said. This is why you get the Holy Spirit. There's so much more I want to tell you and show you, but you're not ready for. And when you are, he's going to show you. All these things will cease that we talk about, these gifts of the Spirit, when completion comes. When Jesus comes back. But for now, everything that we do, we prophesy in part, right? We teach in part. We speak in part. Everything that we do is in part, guys. The complete hasn't come yet. And so we don't know. We don't have the answers. There isn't a formula. It isn't a plan or technique or program. It's just not. It's a Lord. It's a Savior. It's a God that we have to follow. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. See, because when you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, here's what they knew. This lame man simply wanted to be supported in the condition that he was in. He was making life work. He had someone to carry him, a purpose in life. He could beg for what he needed. He would get that at the end of the day. He'd be carried. He didn't starve to death. He had lived 40 years so far. He just wanted to be supported in the condition that he was in. And this isn't mine, guys. So I saw this somewhere and I'm like, wow, yes. Okay, tell me about this, Lord. God wanted to completely change his condition, however. He wanted to be supported in the condition that he's in. But God wanted to completely change his condition. Here's what it sounds like, okay, in 2018. Well, that's just who I am. Right? I mean, you probably said it, right? Someone around you probably said it. Like, you should just smack yourself in the head anytime you say that. Unless you're talking about, I'm 5'2 and I want to be 6'2. Okay, just accept that, okay? I wish I, you know, like, I could get hair plugs that look worse. Just accept who I am is bald. Okay? For me, not the right solution. So I have to accept that about myself. But if I tend to be anger, or if I'm given to drink or lust, or, right? If I strive, if I push, I'm telling you, God is not trying to leave you there. I believe without a doubt that when he's done with you, you will die. When he's done with you, there's 5-year-olds dying today. And then some people are 115 and they still play golf. When God is done with you, he will let you know. Until then, you're still in the business of change. Right? So this is just who I am. Oh, well, deal with it or get out. No, no. You're just trying to get supported in the condition that you're in. The message is in two parts. First of all, guys, in here, the first thing, pay attention when you interact with others. Okay, to make this point, let me step back a second. Fascinating enough. In the Gospels, when Jesus was with the disciples, he gave them a command, this thing that in the Christian world we call the Great Commission. Do you remember what that is? What's the Great Commission? I mean, you don't have to quote it, but what is it saying? Go out and make disciples. And where do you go? To all the world, right? But history tells us that many of these men, after Jesus ascended, some of them actually stayed in Jerusalem for upwards of 20 to 25 years before they went out into all the world. Oh, great. I don't have to do anything now, Will. Thanks for letting me. No. But here's what I want to tell. Observation, I feel like the Lord's given me eyes to see, is we talk about evangelism, and it's really important to share the gospel. It's a command. However, we tend to just run with the flaming torch trying to set the world on fire before God asks us to. And we cause harm. I believe for many of us, this is our Jerusalem time. What we're seeing here, the scripture said in verse 2 that the disciples did many miracles, all of which aren't recorded in this book, but this is one of them that was shared. So here's what I'm saying for you. So I'm asking you to do sort of a weird blend, and it's going to be a hard dance because you're going to want to sit down in one area, but you can't. There's two parts to this. This is what God's doing in you and what God's doing through you. You know, it'd be awesome if like none of you like go to church here in 10 years because you're all out like serving God somewhere else he sent you, okay? But for today, we're together and we're being equipped, we're being taught, we're learning to hear from God and the Holy Spirit, and then hopefully we begin being obedient to him, and then he's going to take us to the places he wants us to go. But in the meantime, what we're doing, just like them, they just went to the temple, and on the way there, they fulfilled the Great Commission. They were a witness to the power of God to this man who was struggling. And so maybe you are called to Africa, praise God. But maybe where you work, where you live, where you shop, where you eat, where you play, just like these guys, you're called to be on mission. I mean, I know that you are, but maybe you'd consider that. So paying attention to what the Lord is doing when you interact with others. The example in this, they walked by this guy yet again. This time. And it doesn't explicitly say that. It doesn't say Peter and John walked by and the Holy Spirit said, stop and talk to this guy. But I guarantee you that's what happened. Because if they were operating under some kind of system, they would have talked to him weeks ago, maybe years ago, but definitely weeks ago. Right? Doesn't that, let's not turn off our brain completely, okay? Yeah, let's just think about that. He would have. Something that day was different. They were paying attention to what God was doing when you interacted with others. And I guarantee you this, and here's what I want you to think about. You want to be like the apostles, the disciples. Maybe he is calling you to pray out to God in the name of Jesus for healing for this person. I believe he still does that. But maybe he's not. Maybe he's asking you to give them alms. Maybe he's not, but you don't know if you don't ask. You don't know if you don't ask. Pay attention to what God's doing when you interact with others. Don't expect a program. Don't expect, this is what I always do. No. You can't see what he can see, and you need his insight. Secondly, and some of us, it's like, oh, I don't like that. Like, can I just go home? Now, then the other group of people, you hate this. Pay attention to what the Lord's doing in you. Because he simultaneously, I'm very confident, he's simultaneously sanctifying, transforming us from the inside out while he's saving others through what he's doing in our life, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to what the Lord's doing in you. Here's how I put it. Quit being lame. Right? Pastors are supposed to have catchy phrases that you're going to forget because they give you 45 of them in one sermon. But quit being lame. If you're offended, I'm sorry. I'm offensive. Here's the question. Am I asking to be supported in the condition that I'm in instead of accepting that God is wanting to completely change my condition? An amazing thing happened that I completely overlook almost every time I've read that. This guy, this lame man, they tried something, right? 40 years, they tried something to help this guy out. Had to be some kind of doctor, ointment, some kind of herb, natural oils, I don't know. You know what he had going on? Eat this, drink this, something. Who knows how drastic they went, but this guy probably didn't have a lot of faith he'd ever get up and walk, let alone jump, right? Before they came along. The disciples paid attention to what God was doing when they interacted, like, ah, okay, you want me to talk to this guy today? Okay, hey, look at me. Then the guy, they had what? This gift of healing. And for some reason, they had faith. This gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift of faith that's described in 1 Corinthians 12. Peter had that. He believed so much that if he would pray that God would heal him, that it happened. But in this guy who was lame, who was laying there, he said, look up. And he looked up. And then he said, I don't have silver to give to you, but I'll give you what it is I have. And he's like, okay, right? Like he said, okay. Because he was in that moment submitted in a submissive position, probably led by his dependence on others. He was not a proud man at this point. People had to carry him to beg for it. He couldn't even walk there or drive his Mercedes there to ask for money. You know, he had to be carried there. And he was willing to look at them in the eyes and receive this gift of healing. You have to pay attention and be willing to be transformed. You have to receive that. So, praise team, would you guys come back up? I want to leave with this question. I want to create a little space for the Lord to speak while we pray. But here's the question I want you to sit with. I want you to sit with this question because we got to get this out of the way. When this lame guy, when he began to realize, wait a second, okay, there is hope here. He stood up. Immediately, he could feel the strength return. He had enough faith to take his hand. When he got up, immediately the strength returned. And what did he do? He jumped. Right? He jumped, and then he didn't go home and play it safe. He went into the temple where he was, I'm sure, never allowed until that day. What do you think he told the people that asked him what happened? He became a witness. You see, he didn't know about the spiritual laws. He didn't, who knows what he knew to tell them, but he was a witness to what God could do. He was a witness to the power of God at work through these disciples. He was a witness to the deity of Jesus because his followers were clothed with power from on high. And so you're all called to be a witness, but if you're witnessing, God, I just want you to make my life work in the condition it is. God, just support me in my anger. Just support me in my unforgiveness, my bitterness. Just support me in my sin. Make it okay. Just support me in my fear. You have to be willing. You have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, search me and show me where I'm trying to make my life work and it's not working. And if we simply lay that down, well, not simple, it's hard, laying that down and putting our hand out, that's the beginning of changing our circumstance. Oh, you mean, well, it goes away? No, not always right away. Because it's going to holler back at you, and you're going to want to pick it back up, and you're going to want to take your eyes off of Jesus. You're going to want to remove your hand from the healing and the wholeness in life, guys, because I'm telling you, I know the Holy Spirit has shown me and told me that many will not make it to heaven. And that breaks my heart, but there's going to be some of us who, because of God's grace and mercy, might receive his forgiveness. But narrow is the path, right, that leads to life. And not all who will find it. And so this is the transformation. This is the life that God wants for us. He doesn't want us to be lame on the side of the road. He wants us to be transformed. And it's hard to take that, right? Because then everyone's telling you you'll get a check in the mail or all your things. Maybe not, but you'll be alive. It's not even about the external. It's about what's going to happen inside of you. And the external will change, sure. But let's go down with the lights. And I want you to ask this question for me. Lord, we pray together that we would set aside all reservations that we can hear from God. That we would begin to be his sheep who hear his voice. That we would begin to be his followers. It's like not a club. We have to do this. It's a verb. It's an action. We follow him. We go where Jesus wants us to go. And I don't really have the map. I don't have the map for them, Lord. And so I ask you to speak And we surrender our pride and our fear. We surrender our doubt. Lord, help us with our unbelief. Help us with fear. That you would wipe that out. That your perfect love, that our Father who created us, knows us and loves us. That he wouldn't leave us or forsake us. So, Lord, I ask you, speak to us through the Holy Spirit. I bring this question to everyone here that you would answer it. Where in my life am I asking you, Lord, to support me in the circumstance that I'm in? When what you're wanting is to change the circumstance that I'm in. That might be new for some of us. Maybe you're hearing the Lord call for the first time. Maybe you don't know what to make of it. I'm here for you. As we pray and as we sing, you could come forward. I'd love to talk with you or pray with you if you have questions or uncertainty. If you feel God asking you to do something that you need support in, will you come forward to me so I can pray with you? Lord, lead us. Speak to us. Where are you seeking change? No doubt and no fear, Lord, just you.